Okay, let's jump in. I'm sorry we missed last week. Let's pick up where we were up to 2 weeks ago. We had a chance 2 weeks ago to begin to get our feet wet in the world of tefillah. We started from the biggest question, which is, what is the source of tefillah? What is the source of the chi of tefillah? Tefillah d'oraisa, tefillah d'rabbanan. We saw the very, very rich machlokas Rambam. Last time we had a chance to see the Rambam inside, see some of the Ramban inside, very, very rich. A lot of different layers. So the one hand, the Rambam is of the opinion that there is a mitzvah of tefillah min ha-Torah. To be more precise, the Rambam is of the opinion there are two mitzvahs of tefillah min ha-Torah. Rambam and Ramban agree that Parshas Bahalozcha contains a mitzvah d'oraisa of tefillah, that the Parsha of Chatzotzros, specifically the chi of Tablochat, that the Psukim speak about blowing chatzotzos in different contexts, so specifically Tablochat Sosos be'es tzara, atzara tzarer eschem, that's not just about specifically blowing trumpets, but that's an example of a larger mitzvah of crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a time of crisis. Za'aka be'es tzara. Both the Rambam and the Ramban agree that that is a mitzvah d'oraisa. The Rambam has it in Hilchas Tanyos in Sefer Zmanim. But the Rambam is of the opinion that in addition to that occasional mitzvah, contingent mitzvah, that at a time of crisis, Jews are obliged to reach out to HaKadosh Baruch, to cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu verbally with chatzotzos. More generally, there's another mitzvah d'oraisa that applies every day, and that is the mitzvah avodah shebaleh, the daily mitzvah of tefillah. That's how the Rambam opens Hilchas Tefillah, and it is near the very beginning as well, of the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs. The mitzvah say, hey, and it's the Hilchas Tefillah Perek Aleph Aleph, and this is, unlike Hilchas Tanios, which is in Sefer Zmanim, this is in Sefer Ahava, the mitzvahs that they give central expression to our love for and our caring for and our fealty to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam says that there's a mitzvah of, apart from crisis, there's a daily mitzvah of tefillah, a daily obligation of tefillah. As we saw, the Ramban argues vehemently with the Rambam. The Ramban in his Ramban didn't write Hasakas in the Mishnah Torah, but he did write Hasakas in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. In his Hasakas, a mitzvah hey, mitzvah say hey, with the Rambam counts a mitzvah tefillah, the Ramban says, I don't think that's correct. The Ramban says, of course he agrees. Shalom Aleichem, welcome in. Ramban's reviewing from last time. Ramban says, of course he agrees that the concept of tefillah exists in the Torah. Tanakh is full of tefillah, but he doesn't think that there's a daily obligation, a tzivoy, a mitzvah, that he does not think exists in the Torah. The Rambam is based upon the Medrash Halacha in the opening Amud of Maseches Tanis. A zohi avodu shebelev hevi omer zu tefillah. The Pesukim say in various places in Chumash, speak of la'avda b'chol vavchem, vavartem, and so on and so forth. And so the Sifrei, interprets what sort of avodah is belev. We're clearly not talking about avodah sakarbanos, which is biyad. So avodah shebelev, that must be tefillah. And the Ramban, as we saw, launched a major attack on the Rambam. He said there are so many gemaras. We saw one or two of them. And Maseches Brachos, he says there are gemaras and brachos, sukkah, kiddushin, etc. So many gemaras that indicate that tefillah is drabanan, meaning that the concept of tefillah exists in the Torah, but the chi of tefillah is only midrabanan. Aye, what do you do with the pie? What do you do with that sifrei that the Gemara in Tanis quotes? Ramban says he thinks it's an asmachta. That's not a drasha gemura min haTorah. Aye, but what do you do with the phrase he'ara in the pasuk? It's how you understand the language of avoda belev. If min haTorah, it does not refer to tefillah, to what does it refer? So Ramban developed an idea, which you point out appears in Mesilas Yesharim as well, near the end of the Hakdama, that at its core, avoda shebelev means wholehearted avodas Hashem in general. It's an adverb. It's not a nutzivoy. It's an adverb. It's a description of the quality of the way I do mitzvahs. I do mitzvahs with motivation, lishma. I do mitzvahs with full conviction rather than being wishy-washy. And I do mitzvahs thoughtfully with my brain and drive rather than sort of out of rote. Mitzvahs on nashem and lumada with my brain in neutral. Now, The Ramban's arguments are strong. We at the end of the last year, I think we spoke about how the Ramban might respond to some of them. Certainly, the one we saw in Maseches Brachos. So we point out that Gemara might be talking about the Chiyuv to daven more than once a day. Even the Rambam agrees at the very outset of Hilchos Tefillah, Rambam is very clear that specific timing and a frequency of more than once a day, and in particular text or Shemoneh Esrei, those details are all midrabanan. The Chiyuv Tefillah Daraisa, according to the Rambam, is merely once a day. So we had seen the Gemara in Daf Chaf Aleph, Maseches Brachos, that spoke about Tefillah being Rabbanan. Look at it in context, that may be a reference to a situation I read, Davin Ma'ariv, let's say, now I'm Davin Shacharis, so the Chiyuv to Davin Shacharis, the Chiyuv to Davin more than once a day, it's only midrabanan. But we ended with sort of a larger meta question that emerges from that conversation, and that is that the phrase interpretation that so the question is very strong. This is a phrase question. So again, the Ramban said he thinks al pipshuto, the answer is avodah shebelev means the lev aspect of every, you know, physical mitzvah, the chovas halavavos aspect of the chovas ha'avon, the pnimius of mitzvahs. But for the Rambam, who accepts the sefrei not as asmachta but as drasha gemura and takes that, in fact, as pshul shel mikra, to the extent that becomes a mitzvah, because Rambam is clear in Shorash Beis of the sefer mitzvahs. Rule number two, criteria number two for counting mitzvahs, they have to be not only daraisa but tar shebichsav. So Rambam's understanding not only that interpretation of sefrei is a daraisa interpretation, but it's not a drasha as much as really just explaining pshul shel mikra. That's what the language means. Avodah Shebelev is Tefillah. And all this highlights the question with which we ended, which is, it really seems like a very awkward answer. It's a great question. What do you mean by Avodah Shebelev? And if we think about the Gemara's answer analytically and get an answer which the Rambam saw is very central, and it's Pshuto Shel Mikra, why is the lev the primary organ of Tefillah? Any more than it's the primary, it would be the primary organ of Karbanos. Right? You don't have to get very far in Tekachim to recognize that Machshava is very central in Avodas HaKarbonos. Right? It's the very first topic. The first Mishnah in Seder is Seder Kachim. The first Mishnah Maseches Vachem. The very first topic is the role that thought and intent have, the critical role that thought and intent play in Karbanos, and that I can do all the right things, I can do all the right activities, all the right procedures, but if my intent is incorrect, that's the very first din in Kachim. They can make a carbon puzzle by doing one of the avodos with Machsheves Chutzlos Mana, or Shelo Lishma, Shelo Lishem Oso Carbon, and so on and so forth. It's the opening topic in Seder Kachim. Machsheva is very central in Karbanos. And again, we had, you know, some of us had a chance to learn earlier in the year. The Sefer HaChinuch writes, begins to say in Masparshas Truma and continues throughout the rest of Chumash, to point out that in the world of Karbanos is all about highlighting certain ideas. And that's why Machshava is so central. Right? And yet, the Sefra was pointing out, but you wouldn't describe Avodos HaKarbanos as Avodos HaBelev. Again, that's the whole crux of that Sefra. What do you mean, Avodah Shebelev? Obviously, it's not a carbon, because carbonos are primarily biyad. Well, isn't that true of tefillah as well? Tefillah is primarily bepeh. Obviously, kavanah is important, but kavanah is important with carbonos too. So it's the answer of the sefrei, it's an odd answer. Why is tefillah any better solution than carbonos to the question of which avoda ought to be described as avoda shebelev? So if there was a mitzvah that was entirely, if we would have said emuna, I understand. If we would have said avos yisrael, maybe. Okay. But to say tefillah doesn't really seem like a better answer than saying karbanos. Karbanos should have been avoda should be a dayim, and tefillah should be avoda should be a peh. And again, this goes for the Rambam. This is the central text. And the Rambam is willing to stand up to all the other Gemaras. I heard Rabbi Rosenzweig speak about this a couple of days ago. The Rambam is willing to stand up to all the other Gemaras that seem to indicate that Tefillah is Rabbanan, in large part because of this drasha, which he finds incredibly compelling in Pshut Rishon Mikra. And the question is, what does it even mean? What does it even mean? That's sort of that's a question which is, so the last time we had a chance to immerse ourselves in the Machlokes Ram Ramban, and to recognize that what emerges from it is this strange connection to Lev. Again, by strange, I mean beautiful, but curious that we see the Lev is so central by Tefillah, far more so than Bar Kabbalas. So I want to put that aside now and begin to explore a number of the different areas of Hilchas Tefillah, and we're going to notice a number of other questions. And ultimately, these questions will be solved, I believe, by a single concept. So let's take a look. Let's take a look first. Let's turn our attention in terms of the first detail of Hilchas Tefillah. Let's talk about Hefsek. Let's talk about Hefsek. So let me bring up for you the following. Lamed Beis. Maybe let's take a look for a moment at Mishnah Lamed Beis. The Mishnah Lamed Beis, the very beginning of the fifth parak, the fourth and nine parak Masechet Brachos, the fourth and fifth are dedicated to Hilchos Tefillah. The fifth opens with a discussion of kavana and focus and avoiding hefsek. The Mishnah says, first the Mishnah gives the ideal, im omdin l'spalat mitoch kovad rosh, a Jew ought to only enter into tefillah from a place of seriousness and focus and gravitas, kovad rosh, literally to be heavy-headed, not to be the opposite of light-headed. And Mishnah famously says that the early tzaddikim used to spend an enormous amount of time, you know, meditatively preparing themselves to daven, kedeshi chavnu liban lavir shayim, so that they could have proper kavana, proper focus on the Ribbono Shel Olam. And then the Mishnah says, afila melech shoel b'shlomo lo yishivenu. Even if the king comes to ask, says hello, don't respond. Afilu nachash kara kevo lo yafsik. I have a snake wrapping itself around my heel, wrapping itself around my foot. Pay no attention. Wow, that requires an extraordinary amount of focus. Extraordinary. Okay, but let's take a look before you get too carried away. Take a look. What I would say about two carried away, kavan and tefillah is very, very important. Avoiding hefsek is very, very important. But one could mistakenly read this Mishnah as saying that even b'makom pikuach nefesh, I have to keep davening. That's not the case. Gemara says here, afilu nachash karach lakeva, the top of lamed gimel amud aleph. If it's a snake, which is not dangerous, most snakes are not poisonous, you recognize that the snake is not poisonous, so then you don't move. But if it's a scorpion, then you do. Then you do. Gemara gets into some more details. Then the Tosis quotes from Yerushalmi, look, sometimes snakes are dangerous too. You can sometimes judge whether they're dangerous or not based on how they present themselves. Okay, if you know your snakes, if you're in the back country and you're comfortable in the back country and you can tell, you can pick out your rattlesnake from your garter snake, so then you're capable of making that call. This is not a sakana, I can continue diving. Obviously, if you're not comfortable that you're making the right call, Safik, that's the Mishnah in Yuma. Safik Pikuach Nefesh is Rodocha Kimat Kol Dini HaTorah, and Shmon Esrei is certainly included. Okay. Then Tosus raises an interesting question. Because he's sort of flowing off that Rishalmi that says if the snake looks like it is dangerous, then you would be posek. Right? Similar to the language of the Bavli, Aval Akrav Posek, you should be Mafsek in a dangerous situation. So now Tosafot raises an interesting question. What would be the story if, let's say you did have to be Posek. So now what? Milo Motzinu in Posak, she Yachzer LaRosh. He says, you don't have to go back to the very beginning of Shmuel Esrei. But, V'tchilos bracha mia yachzer. Interesting question. I stopped in the middle of a bracha of Shmuel Esrei. So where does that leave me? So did I just go back to the middle? I was mafsik in the middle of that bracha. That bracha, I wasn't yotze. But overall, I can still continue Shmuel Esrei. So let's say in the middle of Baruch Aleinu. Middle of Baruch Aleinu, I notice a dangerous scorpion, or I notice a dangerous, potentially toxic snake. So I run away, or I scare away the snake. There's what looks like a raccoon came by our minion the other day, a real live raccoon. Shachris, not Myriv. It wasn't during Shmuel Esrei, so Shai didn't even come up, but we all took a couple of steps back and sort of warily watched where the raccoon was going until he decided to... He decided he was wearing a mask, but he was not interested in joining Armenian. So he moved away, then we were able to continue with focus. The question, let's say, happened in the middle of Shmuel Esrei. So what's the story with, to where do you return? So Tosfos says, okay, says, look, you don't have to repeat the whole Shmuel Esrei. The bracha that you stop in the middle of that one, you have to go back. However, that's not universally accepted. Here, take a look, please, over here. Take a look at the Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef in Siman Kuvdal, the middle of Hilchos Tefila. Let me bring the Beis Yosef so you can take a look. So the Beis Yosef quoted the Baal Yatosos earlier. And then he quotes the Abu Draham. Kasa Rav Rabbeinu David Abu Draham, Abu Draham or Abu Darham, however you want to pronounce his name, he was one of the Chachmei Sfarad. One moment. Share this. Okay, here you go. Here's the Beis Yosef. I'm sorry, I don't think that was shared before. But now you see it? Okay. Kasa Rav Rabbeinu David Abu Darham. The Beis Yosef and Siman Kuvdal quotes that Abu Draham was one of the Sfaradi Rishonim, I believe a Talmud of the Ramban, a member of the Ramban school, who wrote an important sefer on the Siddur. And over the course of the sefer, he spends time on Beir Tefillah and he spends time on Hilchos Tefillah. In terms of Beir Tefillah, in terms of dealing with the Nusach and interpreting and explicating the Nusach of Davening, one of his major foci is finding the Tanakh roots for the language, for the Nusach of Tefillah, particularly for the Nusach of Brachos. And then he also has a lot of discussion about Hilchos Tefillah. So the Beis Yosef quotes the Beis Yosef will quote from both aspects of the Abu Draham. There's a Beis Yosef very close to my heart in Hilchos Mila, discusses, quotes Abu Draham's treatment of why it is we have so many different Brachos. The Bracha of Asher Kiddush. Actually, the bracha of Lahachnisa Bervitzur Shal Avram Avinu. So it's unusual to have two Asher Kishanu Sosef Tzivanu brachas on one mitzvah. And the Mol says Asher Kishanu, and then the father says Asher Kishanu. So the fact they have Asher Kiddush later, that's not as surprising. But to have two brachas that seem to both be Birkas on mitzvah, that's sort of surprising. So he quotes a very beautiful insight from the Abu Draham over there. He says there, they think that the Mol's bracha is on the actual Maisa Mila, the mitzvah of Mila per se, and the father's bracha, lahachnis l'bris ravam avinu, that's on Mila as the, not the mitzvah per se, but Mila as the beginning of the whole series of the mitzvahs that the father has, the Mishnah discussed at the end of the first paragraph of Kiddushin. This is the opening of the whole series of mitzvahs that will stretch over many years that the father has to raise his son. Right? Lamulo levdoso, Lamdo Torah, Lamdo Unus, and so on and so forth, to raise a child, to mechanech a child. So the first Maisa Mitzvah in that series is Mila. So that's the father's bracha. L'hachniso is hachnasa lebris, is chinach. So here the Beis Yosef quotes Abu Draham as well. This is more of a technical part of Abu Draham, the technical discussion of Hilchos Tefillah. So the Abu Draham quotes a lesser known Rishon, Rabbeinu Gershom Bar Shlomo, Nishal lefaneinu misach b'tfilim tzarech lachzar imlav. Let's say a Jew, hard to imagine, in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, a Jew starts to chit-chat. In the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, in the middle of Baruch Aleinu, and you turn to the guy next to you and you start talking about sports, they talk about the stock market, whatever it is. Stock market may be a little bit may in yana of Baruch Aleinu, but it's still absolutely hafzik. Right? In the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, finally you start schmoozing with the fellow next to you. So clearly a violation of the din. The question is, Sarach lachzer imlav. But you have to go back. See, that was wrong to do. It was wrong to shmuz the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, right? Okay, got to tshuva. But right now, I come back to my senses. I remember what I'm doing. I got to stop. Now, where do I go? Where do I pick up? Do I back up or just continue from where I'm up to? And if im choser, miachzer l'rosho l'osa brach shesachba. And question number two, do you go back all the way to the beginning or do you go back, redo this bracha? Now, there are three options. The first, you know, one might say that sicha doesn't require me to jump back at all. If it does, how far? The Heishavnu, Abu Draham quotes Rabbeinu Gershom, wrote a tshuva, shetzarech lach, or perhaps verbally responded, shetzarech lach zar l'rosh. You got to go back to Binyan Shemoneh Esrei. Ki kol yudchas brachos ki bracha achas damu. All 18 brachas are like a single bracha. So you have a hefsek in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Got to go back to the beginning. So that's the position of the Rabbeinu Gershom. Abu Draham quotes the Rabbeinu Gershom by Rabbi Shlomo. Not such a well-known Rishon. It was the Rabbag's father? I don't think so. V'chein kasu arachas chayim b'shem harayvid. A better known Rishon. The Ravid said this. Then he goes on to say, "Mitoch ma shekasavdi yisbar she'ein das haposkim kein." Nah. He says, "But I already quoted. Basically, I quoted Tosus that you and I just saw inside on Daf Lama Gimel Alf. It seems like you don't go back to the beginning. You got to redo the bracha that you're in. But the bracha said before, fine." And then he goes on to say, Masha Kasu call you get brachas kebracha achas damu leisa. He says no, that we reject the notion that all the 18 brachas are like one. That's a special din. You know, when the Gemara talks about going back, you know, returning back, the Gemara talks about jumping back when you made a mistake, when you made a toes. So usually, if you're still in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, you typically just go back to the place. To the bracha that you messed up, unless you're in the first three brachas, right? So if you realize you left out, you said Mashiach Mordagashim, it's the summertime, you don't just go back to Atagibi, go back to the beginning because the first three brachas count as one. The last three brachas count as one. But in general, the rule is if I realize that I said V'sein Tamat L'Vracha in the summertime, let's say, if I'm still in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, you just go back to that bracha was ruined. Because I inserted something that spoiled the bracha, or vice versa. If it's winter time and I left out the same time out of bracha, so essentially what that means is that I left out, I excluded one of the. Ideally, I should say the bracha exactly as Chazal were masakin. But b'diavad, if I already said the bracha with a slight change, I'm still yotze, assuming that all the key themes are present. But during the winter, for instance, you know. Asking for rain is considered to be one of the critical themes of Baruch Aleinu. If I left it out, so I wasn't yotze the bracha. If I'm still in the middle of the bracha, just say it. If you already finished the bracha and you left it out, okay, so you weren't yotze that bracha. The bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, I'm going to have to repeat Baruch Aleinu. The bracha of Shemoneh Esrei have to be said al ha-seder. Order is ma'akev. So if I'm already up to modim, I can't just say Baruch Aleinu and then continue with modim and sim shalom. No, the brachas have to be said in order. So if I wasn't yotzei Baruch Aleinu, we have to repeat Baruch Aleinu as well as all the subsequent brachas. Because it might tka b'shofar, ma'ashiv shavteinu, I wasn't yotzei them either because I hadn't yet said Baruch Aleinu properly. Okay, that's the way it usually works. And that's the Gemara. As a matter of fact, let's take a look inside because that's going to segue us into another issue as well. That's the Gemara in Daf Chaf Tes Amud Beis. Let's jump back. The Chavtes and Beis, that's in the fourth parak, as we were saying before. The fourth and fifth prakim are the prakim of Hilchas Tfilah. So here at the very top of Ches Tesfim and Beis, we're not looking at this because of the name that we're about to read. This is an essential gemara for us. So again, Amar Rabbi Tanchum, the very top of Ches Tesfim and Beis. Amar Rabbi Tanchum, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Ta'av lo hizkir shal Rosh Chodesh ba'avoda choz v'lavoda. You got to go back. You left out Yal V'Yavo on Rosh Chodesh in Avoda. Avoda is Chazal's name for the bracha. So you got to go back to that bracha. Nizkar Bahoda, Chos L'Avoda. You remember in Middle Modim, got to go back to Ritzay. Bissim Shalom, Chos L'Avoda. So if you're still in Middle Shmoneh Esrei, go back to the bracha that you ruined, repeat that, and continue from there. Imsiim Chos L'Rosh. Once you end the Shmoneh Esrei, so then already, once you end your Shmoneh Esrei, then you got to go back to the beginning. And that's a very fundamental idea. Kol Zman, you're still in the middle of your Shmona Esrei, you just go back to the spot where you go back to, we see each bracha as an individual separate unit, go back to that bracha. Once you step away from, once you're done with your Shmona Esrei, then your Shmona Esrei stands as a unit, and if you then realize a couple minutes later, I didn't say Aviyavo, at that point, once you're done with your Shmona Esrei, we're no longer looking at each bracha as a separate unit. We're now looking at the entire Shmona Esrei as a single unit, and have to repeat the entire Shmona Esrei. So the truth is, now coming back, with that in mind, we'll be back on Chav Tesla and Beis in just a moment. But with that base, with those basics in mind, if we look at this Beis Yosef, he makes a strong point, right? As when he read Tosfos didn't read, Tosfos and Lamagil didn't really explain where they got it from. They didn't tell us why the rule is that they just go back to the, just repeat the bracha here in the middle of. But the Beis Yosef does. Beis Yosef at least gives us a little more of a hint. I mean, maybe gives us a hint of what Tosfos was driving at. The rule usually is, as long as you're in the middle of your Shmoneh Esrei, right, you just go back to the bracha that was ruined. But the preceding brachas are fine. If I realize later Shmoneh Esrei that I left out the same time of the bracha, I don't have to repeat Rifayinu, I don't have to repeat Akel HaKadosh. I just have to repeat Baruch Aleinu and on. So the truth is, the position of the Abu Draham quotes, it's a difficult one. You're still in the middle of your Shmoneh Esrei. So why would you go back? So you spoke. So you spoke in the middle of Baruch Aleinu. It's terrible. It was wrong to do, and arguably you even ruined that bracha. Much as Tosa said, look, you stepped away, whether beheter or not, you stepped away in the middle of a bracha Shmoneh Esrei because of a concern about a snake or a scorpion. Okay, so that bracha was ruined. But I told you that the previous brachas weren't ruined. So why is Abu Draham, why did Rabbeinu Gershom disagree? So that's question number two. So again, question number one is how to make sense of Ezoi Avodah Shebelev Hevi Omer Zu Tefillah. Why is Tefillah Avodah Shebelev rather than Avodah Shebepeh? Just like Karbanos are not Avodah Shebelev, they're Avodah Shebeyad. And it's Akasha on the Sifrei, quoted by the Gemara and Tainus, but particularly difficult for the Rambam because he was the one who highlighted the significance. He understood this is not a smachta, this is a real drashma, this is pshat and pasuk, as a matter of fact. So that becomes very difficult. Problem number two is this Rabbeinu Gershom. Why is Rabbeinu Gershom understanding that if you chit-chat in the middle of your Shmoneh Esrei, you got to go back all the way to the beginning. That seems to fly in the face of a Gemara and Daf Chav Tesfim and Beis. It calls my middle of Shmoneh Esrei. You go back to the midst of the bracha that you messed up. Okay, that's ruined. And you have to go back to that bracha and then say repeat all the brachas that follow it. But the preceding bracha should be fine. So that's problem number two. And then for problem number three, let's go back to that Gemara and Chav Tesfim for a moment. And let's learn another line or two. That Gemara and Chav Tes. Let me share this. Share this once again. Here, Chav Tes and Beis. So we saw the beginning of the Gemara, right? Imsiim again. Rabbi Tanachma called Rabbi Asi b'shem Yeshua ben Levi that if you made a mistake, you left out a critical aspect of a bracha. For instance, Yav Yavo within Ritzei on Rosh Chodesh. So then you got to repeat Ritzei, and if you've already seen other said other brachas as well, you're going to have to repeat all of them as well, because Seder HaBrachos is Ma'akam Mishmar Asur. And then, as we said before, Imsiim Chozel Rosh. Once you complete the Shemar Esrei, so then already the entire Shemar Esrei is now a single unit, rather than being a series of separable brachos. Once I complete the Shemar Esrei, then I say the entire Shemar Esrei is now a singular unit, and if there's no longer the option to jump back to Ritzei, you have to repeat the entire Shemar Esrei. If I only recognize my error after completing Shemar Esrei. Now Rav Papa, so that we had seen. Now let's see what Rav Papa adds. I'm Rav Papa Breder of Ada Bar Ada, Rav Acha Bar Ada. So this is not the usual Rav Papa. This is another Amor named Papa. Rav Papa, the son of Rav Acha Bar Ada. What did he say? Ha Da Mar and Siim Chaz L'Rosh. When Yeshua and Levi said that when you complete your Shemar Esrei, at that point you can no longer go back to the particular bracha which was ruined. You have to go back to the very beginning. How do you define Siim? Lo amarn el sha'okar raglov. Ava lo akar raglov chozer la'avoda. So Rav Papa says that when I say siyim, finishing sim sholem is not siyim. Siyim is when I actually take my three steps back. As long as I haven't taken my three steps back, I can continue. And that's what Nachman Issa goes on to explain, the next line of the Gemara. That if you ragil lomer tachanunu macher tfilaso, Chozer la'avoda. And it goes on to explain the Gemara that this works probably in concert with the idea of saying Elokein Tzar. The Gemara lists different Amoraim had different trinos that they added after the formal Shemar Esrei is done. Shemar Esrei is a series of 18 or 19 brachas. The last bracha is Sim Shalom, Amavarach Sam Yisrael Bal Shalom, and that's the end. Right, but if one is ragil lomar tachnunach tfilaso, if you're in the habit of reciting additional tchinas as we all are, it's in the Siddur. Again, our other amaram had other tachanunim that you said that they said. But if one is ragil to say whichever tachanunim one typically says, and one can certainly a post can point out, it's a very natural point in the shmona in the davening to add one's own tfilas as well in Hebrew and English, whatever language one is comfortable, Yiddish, Sanskrit, Farsi, whatever it is. A little Portuguese. So if one is ragil omer tachanunim at that point, so and you haven't yet taken your three steps back, so you're one still considered to be in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Okay, beautiful. But here comes kasha number three. Because let's take a look at a Rambam and a Ravid. You see. Go back to the Mar Mokamos. You see, there's a similar Gemara. The Gemara discusses the parallel topic in benching and Daf Mem Tes in Brachas. 20 blot, almost exactly 20 blot later. The Gemara discusses, let's say I realize that I left that Ritzei, I left the Yal of Yavo in Birkas Amazon. And the Gemara seems to say that as soon as you finish Bonei Berachim Yushalayim, or Bonei Yushalayim, when you realize your mistake in the middle of the fourth bracha, you got to go back to the beginning. That's the simple reading of the Gemara in Brachas Daf Mem Tes, and that is what the Gemara, Rambam quotes right here. Here in Rambam in Hilchas Brachas, Perek Beis Halacha Yud Beis, Shachach V'lo Hizkir B'Shabbos O'B'Yom Tov Kedushas Hayom. What happens if you forgot Ritzei? You forgot Yal V'Yav Al Yom Tov. So what do you do? So he says, quotes from the Gemara, that if you realize, some of the Sidurim have this printed, if you realize after completing the third bracha, after Bonei Yerushalayim, but before you begin Hakel Avinu Malkeinu, you in between the third and fourth brachas, you realize your error, so instead of going back, you recite a separate bracha that stands in place of Ritzei Yal V'Yavo. Asher Nosen Shab Menuchel Amo Yisrael Osel Bris, etc., etc. Ram gives you the length, the Nusach of the Brachas that you say. Okay. And then after that, continue on. Maschel Bebracha Revias Vagoma. Then you say, Atov Amet, say, Hakel Avinu Malkeinu. Then he says, Im Nizkar Achash Hizchel Bracha Revias. Let's say you already began the fourth Bracha. Hakel Avinu Malkeinu Adrenu Barenu. They say, oop, I forgot what to say. Now what? So Ram says, Posek Vachozel Aroshu Birkas Adan. Got to go back to the beginning. Let me ask you a question. Based on what we learned on Daf Chavtes about about Shmona Esrei, what would you have thought the din should be? I'm in the middle of the fourth bracha. Where do I go? And I realize that I ruined the third bracha by omitting Ritzer Yal V'Yavo. So how far back should I go? What would you say? Right? I'm still, why? Right? I'm still in the middle of Birkas Hamazon. Right? The rule the Gemara had on Daf Chavtes in Hilchas Tefillah in the fourth parak was, as long as you're still in the middle of your Shmona Esrei, just, as long as you're still in the middle of Shmona Esrei, each bracha stands as a separate unit, just go back to the bracha that you ruined. But you don't have to repeat the preceding brachas. You only are Chozer LaRosh once you're done with your entire Shmona Esrei. Right? It's only, your Shema Esrei only constitutes a single unit once you complete the Shema Esrei. And, as we saw, the Amram went on to say that you haven't, even after you say all the brachos, you're not complete if you're ragil omer tachnu machat filoso. So the Ravid says, I don't understand. Lo griya bracha revias misha ragil omer tachnu machat filoso. The fourth bracha of benching, it's true. It's true that the core benching are the first three brachos. The fourth bracha was really added by the later Tanaim. It's not part of the core structure of benching. It's true. And I think Gemara makes that clear in the seventh paragraph. The core is based on psukim. The core structure of benching is to daven, is to thank Hashem Baruch Hu for food, thank Hashem Baruch Hu for Eretz Yisrael. It's the second bracha. Thank Hashem Baruch Hu for Yushalayim Malchus Beis Daven, based on Mikdash, the third bracha. Okay. Fourth bracha is sort of an appendix. Okay. But still, it's no less than saying Elokai Netzar. Elokai Netzar is not a chiyuv, but the fact that I typically say it, my regilus, my habit, is enough to make that parash masre. Yeah, the fourth bracha is a chiyuv. True, it's a patch, it's an add-on, but it's a required add-on midrabanan. As a matter of fact, we even should have said that the harachamans are the true parallel to Elokai Netzar. It's not, strictly speaking, a chiyuv to say the harachamans, certainly not Medina de Gemara. The Gaonim speak about saying harachamans. It's at least ragil omer tachanun machar tefilasa. And if I say it every time I bench, so that's I'm ragil omer tachanun machar birchaso. So the Ravid says, I don't understand. You finished some shalom, you're middle of Elokai Netzar. We say, oh, you're still middle of Shmona Esrei. If you realize you made a mistake, just go back to the bracha that you messed up in. But in benching, I mean, forget about harachmas. I'm middle of the fourth bracha, which is a real chiyuv drabanan. Say, no, but since you finished the core benching, which is the first three brachas, got to go back to the beginning. Hello, davarhu. So that's the Ravid's kasha. The Ravid's kasha on the Rambam. The truth is the simple reading of the Gemara and Daf Mem Tes in discussing Birkas Hamazon is like the Rambam. But the Ravid says, yeah, but how do you square it with the Gemara and Chav Tes about Shema Esrei? So far we have three kashas, right? Yeah, number one, we do not understand. We do not understand why we would describe tefillah as avodah shebelev as opposed to avodah shebepeh in a way that we're not comfortable doing for karbanos. Number two, we wonder about Rabbeinu Gershom, quoted by the Budraham, that if you chit chat in the middle of Shmona Esrei, you go back all the way to the beginning. Even though you're still in the middle of Shmona Esrei, I just go back to the bracha in which you chit chatted. Problem number three is the Ravid's kasha, the Rambam, which really Ravid's kasha in the Gemara, in a sense. Now, why is it that Elokai Netzar is you're still considered to be in the middle of your benching in a way that's not true for Birkas Hamazon? As though, maybe we could say that benching is more extendable than Birkas Hamazon is. The fact that I say additional tchinas after the Shmona Esrei, that blends in to become part of my tefillah. In a way that the pieces are added on after Birkas Hamazon, they're just appendices to Birkas Hamazon. They don't become a part of Birkas Hamazon itself. So the lave seems unusually, strangely central to tefillah. The Rabbeinu Gershom chit-chatting seems like it's unusually destructive to my tefillah. Even though I'm still in the middle of Shmona Esrei, I have to go back to the beginning. And tefillah seems more extendable than Birkas HaMazon. So I see we're already a bit over time. So I want to leave you with a fourth question, and then Mirchem next time, a fifth question will give us the answer to all of these. Let me leave you now with a fourth question. There are eight Prakim Maseches Yuma. The first seven are dedicated predominantly to the Kodshim aspect of Yom HaKippurim, to the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, the Kohen Gadol. The last parak, the eighth parak, is dedicated to the Halacha L'Masa B'Zman Hazeh of Yom Kippur. It ends with Tshuva and begins with the Halachas of Tanis and the Shar Inuyim. And the Mishnah gives on Gimel Beis, the first Mishnah, the last parak, tells us Yom HaKippurim, Asur Bachila, Bashtir, Rechitza, Sicha, etc., all the Chamesh Inuyim. On Daf Ayin Zayin of Beis, Gemara picks up with Hilchus Rechitza. Let's take a look. Ayin Zayin of Beis. So the Gemara talks about bathing. The Gemara says you can't even bathe part of your body. Asur lechutz mixes guf v'kol guf. It's not just an issur to take a shower. You can't even wash a part of your body. You can't wash your hands. You can't wash your face. However, if you got dirty, then you're allowed to bathe yourself, wash it off in a normal fashion. Right? In other words, it's mutter. Why is that so? So again, without getting to the beautiful, large machlokas we've shown him, but whether the shari inuim, the inuim other than eating and drinking with their daraisa draban. So for simplicity's sake, let's take the approach of the Balya Tosfos. Just makes it easier to explain this Gemara. The Rambam and the Ran have another approach. But the Balya Tosfos assume that the inuim other than eating and drinking are all isurim drabanan. And that's why there are various limitations that you wouldn't have on a daraisa. So they say, so Baitosis would say, you see from here that the Issa Rechitza is only Rechitza Shel Tanug. If my hands are dirty, I'm allowed to wash them because that's not primarily for pleasure. I'm washing my hands to get the dirt off. But if I'm washing my hands just because the default position, default Rechitza is Rechitza Shel Tanug, unless I can point to a specific need. If there's a need that I'm addressing, something I'm removing from washing off my hands, then that redesignates as rechitza, get off the lichluch. It's no longer rechitza shel tanug, and it's mutter. Right? And we're familiar with the fact that the Shulchan Aruch discusses, and the Tosis Yishan already has this on the bottom of the Amud, they start talking about how about washing Netilas Yadayim in the morning. Netilas Yadayim in Shacharis. Neil Rabbeinu Tam, a couple of lines into Tazjadim, Rabbeinu Tam said, Mutter Lital Yadu Yom Kippurim, a lot of washing Tilas Yadayim, various types of Negel Vasser. Kedama Hacha Yadam Nuchlachos Betit Vitzor, your hands are dirty, your hands got muddy, you can wash them off. Your hands got dusty, you can wash it off. So the same is true to wash Negel Vasser. Okay. Various types of negalos. And then he talks that a fellow used the bathrooms, your hands are dirty, obviously you have to wash your hands. Even if not, you can wash mishum hikon likrusel kachisral. You wash your hands in preparation, a fellow used the bathroom, you wash your hands afterwards in preparation for davening. So now if you take a look in Shulchan Aruch, let's bring that up. Shulchan Aruch, the halachas of Rechitza Yom Kippur, of washing Yom Kippur, are tough reshit gimel, Taryag. Simon Taryag. Easy to remember. So Shulchan Aruch says, you can't wash your hands, hot water, cold water, etc., etc. Your hands are dirty, or a person has a nosebleed, so then you're allowed to wash away the lichloch shlo asr el rechitza shel tanug, right? It's only us if it's washing for pleasure, but if it's specific dirt or soil or blood spatter, whatever it is that I'm washing off, that's permitted. Shulchan Aruch says, Sif Gimel, hitel mayim v'shishef biyado, asr tzarach v'kinach, if a fellow uses the bathroom, he needs to wash his hands for hygienic reasons, hands are soiled, so obviously you can wash them. And then Shulchan goes on to say, even my hands are totally clean. Use the bathroom, my hands are totally hygienic. then you wash your hands anyhow. And the Taz asks a simple question. What do you mean if you're planning to daven? Yom Kippur, you're always planning to daven. What are you doing? But there's always another tefillah coming. When are you not planning to daven? When do you come out of the bathroom, Yom Kippur, you're not about to daven? Right? It's actually a serious question. So he says, well, exactly. So the answer is, you come home at night, and you're ready to daven Ma'ariv, and you're going to wash your hands in the morning before Shacharis anyhow. You're going to wash Neglevas in the morning. So a fellow comes home at night, uses the bathroom before going to bed, saying, I'm not about to daven. But the Taz says, I don't understand. So you're not about to daven in shul. Okay. What does that have to do with shul? How about Asher Yatzar? Asher Yatzar also requires preparation. About to say Bracha Asher Yatzar. You're always about to say Asher Yatzar, that's for sure. So what do you mean? Im Rotzel Hispalel. A Jew in Yom Kippur is not going to say Asher Yatzar. That's a problem. The Taz is Tzarechian. He's shocked. What's Shulchan Aruch trying to say? So let's just recap our four cautions. Number one, Avodah Shebelev is Tefillah. Why isn't that Avodah Shebepeh? And particularly for the Rambam. Number two, the Rabbeinu Gershom that Abu Dram quoted, that unlike the normal rule that as long as you're still in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, just go back to the bracha that was ruined, if you chit-chat, you have to go back to the beginning. Why? It's against Tosus. Number three, in terms of, are you still in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei? So Shemoneh Esrei appears to be more extendable than Birkas HaMazon is. Rag Yilomo Tachnu Achat Tfilasi, you're still in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, which is not the case with Birkas HaMazon. The question of the Raivan Hilchus Brachas Perek Beis Alachir Beis. And finally, number four, the question of the Taz. What do you mean if you're going to daven on Yom Kippur? Your fellow comes out of the bathroom, he's always about to say Asher Yatzar, even if he's not about to daven in shul. So why is Asher Yatzar different than some other type of davening? So those four questions seem very disparate. And we've sort of definitely expanded our scope of Hilchus Tefillah to Hilchus Yom Kippur as well. Mitzvah next time, we'll open with a fifth question, a question which Tosus raises, a question which Reb Chaim raises in the Rambam, and a question which yields an insight that hopefully will solve all five of these problems. Rabbo said, thank you so much for joining, and we will continue B'li Nedr next week.
Thank you.
Have a great night.